Welcome to Season 5 of the Questions With podcast, hosted by Quest Ventures, the top venture capital fund in Asia. I am your host, Ling Ha, and in this season, we are diving into Vietnam's vibrant tech startup scene, particularly how innovation is driving impact and sustainability. Join me as we explore how this emerging Southeast Asian nation is embracing technological and scientific advancements, all while building a more sustainable future. Diep Bui is the co-founder and CEO of eJoy, an award-winning Vietnamese ed tech startup helping millions of learners master English through contextual learning with Netflix, YouTube, TED Talks, and more. After leaving a stable career at a German bank, Diep earned a pedagogy certification and teamed up with her husband, a former VNG engineer, to build eJoy in 2017. Guided by her camel model approach, being resilient and sustainable, she has grown the platform to over 1.5 million users worldwide, with funding from many investors, such as Startup Viet Partners, ThinkZone Ventures, Global Minds Accelerator, and One Startup Vietnam 2022. At the heart of her work is a mission to take language learning meaningful, accessible, empowered by empathy and psychology-driven design. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are very, very eager and very excited to learn more about your journey. So let's jump right into it. To start with, I would love to ask you about your, you know, one of the earlier moments in your career. If you could look back at the first spark of eJoy, was there a specific moment or experience or frustration that made you decide, I'm going to build this, I'm going to do this?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Ling, for your introduction, and thank you for inviting me to be as a speaker for this podcast. This is my great honor to be here. And talking about the very first day of eJoy, and actually it happened after a not very successful startup. To be exact, it's a failed startup when we started a game studio, and it failed because of the business model and because of the goal. And then my husband, at that time, he wanted to learn how to build a successful startup. So he learned it from Steve Jobs, but his English was not good at that time. And he said, is there any way that I can learn English with Steve Jobs? And I told him that no way. His job is not teaching you. And also his domain is not about English teaching. So no way. But then he kept thinking about that idea. And then he created a Chrome extension to help him understand what Steve Jobs is talking on YouTube videos as well. When he listened to Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, and he wished that he could learn from them, and then he kept thinking about that idea day after day. And one day he showed me a Chrome extension made by himself. He asked me, what do you think about an extension that can help translate everything on the YouTube into Vietnamese? And then help save the contents, save the vocabulary for later practice. And I said that it's a good idea, but I'm not sure if it works or if it helps you or not. So then he started learning by that way. And after a few weeks, I was surprised at his progress. Like, he could listen and understand a whole complete videos on YouTube. And I said, wow, you learn very fast. And then we asked each other, like, is this only you, my husband, who is surprised by this technology, by this idea of learning? So he said, why don't we test this to the market? Why don't we bring the product to the wider markets to see if there any customer who's willing to pay for this? So we made the extension available on the Chrome store, and we made the app on the Apple store, and we set up a price. A random price that we looked it up from other apps at that time. It was about like 200,000 Vietnam dong for 1 month. And then we got the first customer, who was an agriculture student. And I chatted to her and I asked her, like, why did you pay for this? I think the price is quite expensive for a student. But she told me that, wow, this is what I have been looking for. For many years, I love to study sustainable agriculture, but I couldn't find any materials in Vietnamese. I had to watch it on YouTube in English, but I don't understand anything at all. So eJoy helps me to learn sustainable culture, sustainable agriculture. So then that's the first motivation for us. And then we keep moving on from that time. Products to help everybody learn with the content that they love.
That's really interesting to hear that. So technically your husband was the first user of the product that you guys have been using.
Yes.
I'm curious about the second user, which is like the first user who is not your husband, but the first paid user. How did she find out about eJoy?
How did she just search for that on the App Store? Like learn with YouTube or something? And then it pops out the eJoy on the search results. And she just tried to install all the apps and then she found out that eJoy matches her style.
Wow. So after that first paid user, how did you acquire more paid users? What were some main distribution
Mainly by word of mouth and organic search.
And you grew to 1.5.
Yes. Well, I have to say, like, because our extension is quite unique in the market. Like, right now we are the only one that can help the students to learn from any video platforms. Like, we can translate all videos into Vietnamese to help them learn anything they want on the internet. Many extensions can help you to learn on YouTube only, but we can help the students learn on Coursera, Udemy, any video platform.
Right.
Then they just keep telling their friends about that. Like, hey, you want to learn on Coursera? You should use eJoy. It will help you to learn it faster.
And your main customer base is in Vietnam or...
We have 70% of our customers are from Vietnam and 30% from other markets. The main persona, I mean the main profile is the students or the adult learners. They want to improve their expertise. They want to grow up in their career path.
So right.
They have to learn technology or medical knowledge or maybe like sales or marketing, and they want to learn on the internet from the online courses.
Wow, it's impressive to hear that you grew organically to 1.5 million users, through words of mouth and through like very organic ways. People in the tech world talks about like growth hacking. What does it mean to you, and what does it mean to eJoy? This growth hacking strategy.
This growth hacking strategy is about making the product that they love and they really, really need. So then they will keep saying about that to everybody. Like the way we learn about ChatGPT, right? They don't have to pay for the advertisement so that we can know we learn about them. We just hear it from the news, hear it from our friends, hear it from the college about the new AI model that can help, that can answer anything that you want. Then we go to the internet and we search ChatGPT, right?
Right.
And then we use it. So right. It's about like making the product that people really need it.
Right. So from your perspective, how has, you know, technology and specifically AI fundamentally changed the process of learning itself compared to when you started back in 2017, right?
So in the past, when we create a tool like eJoy, we think of making a tool, a learning tool, like an equipment. But when the AI has come and everything, then the technology is not about making tool only. It's about building a personalized tutor or a personalized companion to the learners, for the learners to learn way too much better and more effectively. So that is the big shift in making technology or in making technical products or digital products. That is the first one. You know, like the AI is not about like asking an answer. Now AI can do reasoning, but they have kind of the thinking that can help you solve the problem. So it's not just a pure, a very simple AI or a very simple tutor. It's a cognitive tutor. I mean, like it has a brain, has a thinking. It has a logical reasoning. And also, AI can help us to build the level of personalization at scale. What I mean at scale is like, for example, I can be a teacher and I can design a personalized English course, but I can only teach like 10 or maybe like 100 students. But AI can do it for thousands or millions of users at the same time. So I mean about like personalization at scale. That is what I mean. Like everybody can have a chance to learn in their own way. That is the big shift. And that is what I really want to make.
Right. So do you think that the ed tech market is getting too crowded or overwhelming for consumers when, you know, there has been an increasingly number of apps that has like a chatbot or an AI power feature that provide personalized study plans for consumers? Do you think that it's getting too crowded out there? And how do you think that a company like eJoy can stand now and avoid becoming a commodity, you know, just like one of those AI apps out there?
Yeah, I think it has been already crowded. Like if you go to the internet and then you search like English learning apps, then there would be a lot of AI personalized learning apps. Like it's everywhere. It's already. But the personalized that I want to say here is not about the common version that you may see on the internet. What is a common version? The common version of personalized is like they have the fixed curriculum and they have the fixed learning plan and you follow the plan, and if you get an incorrect answer, there would be a personalized explanation to you. So that is the definition of personalized that you can see a lot nowadays. And I think it's kind of a reactive approach. What I mean about personalized here is a proactive approach. What does it mean? I'm talking about a unique learning plan, not a one size for everybody. A unique for you only, a personalized learning plan for you only, based on your career goals, based on your learning style. Let me give you a concrete example. An IT student who needs English to communicate with experts and clients, their LinkedIn will be tailored for that work, for that needs. They won't be like generic vocabulary about sales and marketing, or maybe like just simplistic computer terms. It will be a precise language that they need for their jobs. So that is what I mean about personalized learning. So that is what we are aiming for, and we are focusing on building the personalized learning with the AI. So it is personalized, firing, and goal oriented. It must be combined, all of those, to be a truly personalized learning. And in order to build that type of solution, we will need a deep integration of pedagogy, learning science, technology, and behavioral psychology into our experience designs. Yeah. So I remember I talked to some tech companies run by technology students, and they told me that they are making a personalized learning apps, but that is just like a fixed learning plan for everybody, and then just personalized explanation if they got incorrect answer. So I told them that that's just a reactive approach. It's just the past. I mean, like everybody has already done that kind of personalization. We need to move on to the higher level of personalization.
Could you share more about some of the pedagogies that you are deploying in building eJoy? And maybe like share a little bit more about that higher level of personalization in the way that you're building eJoy to make it suitable for everyone, but not a one size fits all.
Yeah. So I can tell you again about the example of an IT student, and I have to say that we are still working on that solution, not a finished one yet. But right now we are consulting our users to follow their unique learning paths. For example, an IT student, he has to fluent in English for his job, Like his job could be like an IT guy who talks to experts and talk to customers about technology terms, right? So he has to follow a learning path that includes the content about the technology he's learning and about the situation when he has to deal with the customers. He has to practice a lot of conversations like that. So we provide him that kind of activities to practice. For example, he can go to the Coursera to learn Coursera, and then he can save the vocabulary relating to technology. And then he can practice the vocabulary on DJOY. And then from that vocabulary, we can create a role play or a conversation with AI to help him practice that kind of conversation with customer or with experts. So then he keep using the vocabulary in real life conversation. So that is part of the learning journey that we are consulting our students to follow. But in the near future, like next year, we are making the personalized learning, which is more intuitive. So then the student can get the learning plan designed for them only.
So looking 5 years into the future, what is one aspect of education that you believe AI will have completely transformed by then?
Personalization.
Oh, yeah. Still personalization.
Yeah, personalized learning. That is personal. What I talked to you about personal, the level, the high level of personalization is not, has not happened yet. This has not happened yet. What we see right now is just like a reactive approach that I told you early on.
Right.
But the truly personalization has not happened yet. We haven't seen it yet. So that is what I expect to be happened in 5 years' time.
How do you plan to bring eJoy to like 100 million people out there in Vietnam?
Yeah. So asking about like how to make it available to 100 million users, Vietnamese citizens, right? It's not easy. It's another challenge. It's another unsolved challenge. It's about education for everybody. It's about the business model that can serve everybody. You may have learned about Duolingo, right? And you know that Duolingo, everybody can learn on Duolingo, right? Without paying anything. Everybody can learn on that. That is what the business model. The business model that Duo is running, education for everybody, that you cannot communicate fluently if you only study with Duolingo is just for beginner level. It will not help you reach to the fluent level. Yeah. So in order to make the personalized solution for everybody to become fluent in language communication, that is a very big challenge. And your question for me is, how can I make that? So I have to be honest about the business model of education for all. I'm still thinking about that. But about the personalized learning, I'm working on that. Yeah. Which I mean, like, I have an idea how to solve that learning effectively and personalized. So how am I working on that? I said earlier on, I said it's an integration of pedagogy, learning science, technology, behavioral psychology, in our experience design. So what I mean by, we have to combine the knowledge from different fields and integrate them into our learning experience design. And how we do that is quite technical. Like, we base on some principles in pedagogy, in learning science. For example, like spaced repetition is one of the principles in learning. Then we, or maybe like micro learning. So we have to split the lesson into micro session. Each one is only 5 minutes. So that is one of the principles that we have to base on. So we base on those principles and we create the lessons based on that. And the lesson must be composable. What I mean composable here is that the lesson can be break into small components and then can be grouped into different lessons based on the learner goals and based on the learner's, the learning style of the student. Then we can create the personalization learning experience. Yeah, I know that it would be quite technical to explain how we do it, but it has to be, it couldn't work on like individual knowledge. It must be a combined, an integrated knowledge.
Right.
Yeah. So like, we need the kind of the designer who has the knowledge in technology, in learning science, and in experience design. we need that kind of knowledge in one person.
So I'm curious about the role that you see the government and the investor play in this bigger picture of the mission that you and eJoy are envisioning for millions of users, of Vietnamese
Link. Great question. Thank you for the great question. I think the role of the government and the investors here is like helping to build kind of an environment to support the innovators like us, right? What kind of environment? Like, for example, we have an idea and then we build the idea into the solution. But we need a test environment to check if the solution really works or not. Yeah. So the government can help us with that kind of testing environment. Like, you know, like in order to bring our products to a school, we need to get approval from the Ministry of Education. But you know that in order to get approval from the Ministry of Education, we need to wait for 2 years. So then there's no innovation at all. In 2 years, everything happens, and it happens a lot, and technology change and everything. We cannot wait for 2 years in order to get the approval. But it's not about the approvals for commercialize the product. It's just about the approval to test the solution, if it works or not. Yeah. So that kind of environment is very important for innovators. And for the investment, for the investors, they can help with the funding to fund that kind of idea to make it happen. Or maybe like the funding can come later on on our journey when we are making that kind of product. We can make the MVP first, and then the investor can come in and help us to make the MVP work on a large scale.
So we started this tradition that we ask our guest speaker on the podcast to ask a question to the next speaker. So our previous guest speaker has this question for you. It's on the same topic as what we were discussing like just now. So he asked, what are the things that investors can do to make you truly respect outside of capital?
What is the thing that the investor can do
to make you truly respect them outside of, you know, money and investing in you? Like money aside, what are the things that investor can do to make you truly respect them?
Truly respect them. For me, it's like they buy in my vision. As long as they buy in my vision and they can challenge my vision, they can challenge my mission. But if when they really, really buy in, then I will respect and I really want to work with them.
Okay, interesting. I'll make sure to report back to our previous guest speaker on the answer that you just provided. So to carry on the tradition, I would love to ask you to have a question to our next speaker. We don't know who they are. You don't know who they are. So if you could ask them one question, it can be anything. What would you like to ask?
I would like to ask them, like, if they run out of money, I mean the business runs out of money, will they still work on their vision or they will stop it?
Do you have an answer for yourself?
Yeah.
This question? I would be curious to learn more.
I still work on my vision. My vision stay on top, like even when I don't have enough money or something, I still work on that. I can work on a part-time job to get money to fund my vision. I can do anything to continue working on my vision.
So that's really interesting, because I'm curious, what's the line between being stubborn and being persistent enough to pursue your vision?
Okay, that's great question. Well, I think because like my vision is my meaning of life, what I live for. It's about like education for all, for everybody. That is my vision. So as long as I can see that what I'm doing is making good impact for the learners, then I know I'm still on the track.
Beautiful.
But if I when I listen to my customer and they say, no, your product is rubbish or you didn't help me anything, I'm so disappointed, like I hate for you. If I heard something like that, I would have to stop and think back and do reflection on my job. Like why couldn't it help them? And how can I make it better? Yeah. So like I think being stubborn is when you don't listen to your customer for their feedback. You avoid that. That is stubborn.
Right. So to wrap up this episode, if you could you know, give our listeners a 3-second takeaway from your journey in maybe like 1 or 2 sentences, what would you say? What would you tell them?
For the listeners?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know who you are. Maybe you are investor or maybe you are startup founders. Well, I don't think that it would be like a kind of lesson learned, but I think it's a motto for me, like a motto to live by my vision, like making our life better, education for everybody. Yeah. So follow your vision if that is good for the world, for a better world.
Love that. Love that. That was such an inspiring and eye-opening conversation. Thank you so much, Tibia, for joining us and sharing your beautiful journey of building eJoy, your lessons in resilient entrepreneurship, and your vision for making language learning more meaningful and accessible to everyone. And to our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Question With. If you enjoyed this conversation, don't forget to follow the podcast on your favorite platform so you don't miss future episodes. I'm your host, Linka. Until next time, thank you so much.